There is power in worship and praise. It is something that is uniquely powerful in our lives and in our world. And that's why we have the book of Psalms. The Lord gives us the book of Psalms as His guidebook, His instruction manual for us in the practice of praise, the practice of worship and praise. And I want you to think about that word practice today. Because practice implies that we haven't totally got it yet. Practice implies that it's okay if you're not perfect. Practice implies that there's a process and that we're growing in something. That we kind of see the goal, we see the destination, we see where we want to be, and we know that we're here. But practice implies that we're going to have some discipline and we're going to move in that direction and we think that we're going to get there. And we have presented to us in the book of Psalms the practice of prayer. It is part of what we call the spiritual practices of the Christian life. Spiritual practices. Some people call them the spiritual disciplines. I like the word practice better because I don't really like discipline. But then I realized that you can't really practice unless you have some discipline, but that's okay. I'd like to lead with the word practice. I call them spiritual practices. It's things that we do regularly, we do repeatedly. Even coming to church on Sunday morning is a spiritual practice. We come together regularly, and sometimes we feel like it and sometimes we don't. But the more we practice the gathering together of the saints, the more we find the Lord at work in our lives. That's the way that it works, and it's true, and that's what the Word directs us. The Psalms is a guidebook. So it's been so exciting to look at the book of Psalms together. And I want to look this morning at Psalm 134. And as Larry said to me before we started, hey, there's only three verses in that. It's going to be a short sermon. Well, not exactly. Not exactly. That just means I can go anywhere I want, I told Larry. From Psalm 134. This is a fantastic psalm, Psalm 134. It is called a psalm of ascents, ascending, going somewhere, moving, going up, making progress. It's one of those kinds of psalms. It's short, it's powerful, and it has an action step in the middle. Verse 1, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. It's just three verses. Very, very short. It's a psalm of ascents. It's a psalm of movement, of going somewhere, of making progress on a journey. And it's beautiful. I love the way the psalm ends. It says, may the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. I like that because it's tying in with some of the things we've seen in the book of Psalms. The Psalms always direct our attention to the nature of God. Haven't we seen amazing things in the book of Psalms? I mean, you wouldn't think that you'd turn to the book of Psalms and there you would find an exposition of the sovereign majesty of God. In recent weeks, we've seen the sovereign power and majesty of God in the book of Psalms. Last week, we saw a whole array of the divine attributes. We saw God in His eternal nature. We saw God in His infinite knowledge. He's omniscient. We saw God who exists everywhere at all times, perfectly and completely present. It's called His omnipresence in the theological word, but it's just this concept of God. Who would have thought that you turn to the Psalms and get this giant picture and portrait of God? And the beauty of the Psalms is that portrait is given to us not just to tease our fancy intellectually, but is given to us as the basis of prayer. The beauty, the wonder, the power of the Psalms is taking all of that magnificent truth about God and then showing that God comes near. God comes to us. He cares about us. And so it says in Psalm 134, in verse 3, may the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that's big. You just have to sort of pause there and go, oh, the maker of the heavens and the earth, of the whole thing, the whole shebang. May He bless you from Zion. From Zion, from a place on earth. May He bless you here on earth, in your life, in your world. God, the maker of heaven and earth, He comes near. He comes to us. He came to the nation Israel in miraculous power and delivered them from Egypt. Had a purpose and a plan for them in this world. He comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ, His Son, the incarnation of God, who died for us and rose again. God, the maker of heaven and earth, He comes to us. This is a profound truth. And now we want to take that truth and learn how to practice it in prayer. It's the practice of prayer and praise. If you understood the power of praise in your own life, you would start practicing immediately. You would practice more. You would go for it in your life. Now, I understand that sometimes we don't want to practice things because we don't feel like we're very good at it and we feel like it just doesn't work for us. And it feels so awkward. And especially if you're called to practice something in a group setting. Like, well, I don't want to do that. I want to go away and practice privately in my life. But the Lord calls us to practice not only individually, but to practice together. You know, I got to thinking one day, because I've been playing the guitar for many, many years. And sometimes if I try to show someone else how to play something on the guitar, I can get frustrated and say, well, it's easy. I mean, why can't you just do that? You know, I mean, here, bloop, do that, you know. And they can't do it. And so what I did was I went and I picked up my guitar and I said, I'm going to play my guitar. And this is the way I normally play my guitar. But I'm going to play my guitar upside down and backwards like Hendrix. And so I went, okay, I'm going to practice a D chord. And I went, I got it. Let's go to G. That's hard. That's hard. And you know, all of a sudden I got it. I thought, it's amazing. The stuff that we do, that we feel comfortable doing, that we've been doing for a long time, comes natural. But if you just change it up a little bit, you can't do that. Your fingers don't go where they're supposed to. You feel awkward. You would never come out in front of a group and do that. I just did, but you know, you wouldn't do that. Every one of us at some point in our lives is a beginner. We start on a spiritual journey of faith. We learn the practices of the Christian life, and we make progress in that. We're called to do that individually. We're called to do it together. For some people, praying is like playing the guitar left-handed or right-handed if you've never played at all. Your fingers won't go where you see someone else do it. You go, that looks so easy. And then you buy a guitar and you start and you go, that's really, really hard. For some people, praying is like that. Praising is like that. Worshiping is like that. It's something foreign to them. And the Lord says, listen, I'm going to show you. I have an instruction book for you of how this is going to go. I brought my Tommy Emmanuel instruction book. Tommy Emmanuel is my guitar hero. Here's a picture of him, just so you'll know. It's this guy right here. He's amazing. Tommy's great. If he ever comes to town, you need to go. Jim, isn't he amazing? He's great. And so I want to be like Tommy. So I went out and I got the official Tommy Emmanuel songbook. And I got his songs, and it shows how to play these songs here. And I felt like an absolute idiot. And because I play his song and then I try to play it, it doesn't sound like it, you know. And so I'm practicing this. This is the book. This tells me how to do it. And I'm practicing that, and I'm hopefully making some progress. And I'm not going to play it for you. I thought I was, but I changed my mind. I'm not going to. Here's God's guidebook. Here it is. Here's His instruction book. Here's the book of Psalms. God says, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to draw near to you. The maker of heaven and earth is going to bless your life. And now I'm calling you to the practice of praise, the practice of worship in your life. Will you work at this? You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to, you know, have it all together right now, but will you just start in your life? There's an action step in here. Take a look at Psalm 134. There's an action step. It says, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Now, you know, Psalm 134 isn't actually a prayer. It's more like an instructional note. It's like, okay, so if you want to praise and worship, so you should praise the Lord, all your ministers to the Lord. If you're a follower of Christ, you're a servant of the Lord, and you come to the house of the Lord, and you know that spiritually you can come to the Lord at any time, day or night in your life. Now, as an action step, he says, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. It's an action step. It's an action step that makes a lot of people feel uncomfortable in their life. They say, well, I'm going to lift up my hands to the Lord. And I'm certainly not going to do it in a public setting. Now, there's certain people here this morning who are thinking, oh, no, this is the part about lifting your hands to the Lord. It's going to be that talk about how I need to lift my hands to the Lord in worship. And certain people are saying, oh, no. And other people are saying, oh, yes, finally, we're going to get to that part about lifting your hands to the Lord. And it might have to do with your personality and your past experiences in life. I grew up in a family that was extremely subdued. No, there were no outward displays of emotion or gesturing. We didn't do that type of thing. We didn't really hug each other. I mean, hugging people in my family was like hugging statues. You know, you're like, it feels really weird. It doesn't quite work so well, you know. There was no raising of hands. There was no, you know, outbursts of emotion. It just didn't happen. It's kind of foreign to me to see that kind of. So to do that would be sort of something I had to practice, I guess. And then coming to Christ, I came to Christ in a Baptist church that was very subdued, but I immediately got involved in more charismatic and even Pentecostal settings, and people were really going off. I mean, people were just, they weren't only raising their hands, they were dancing around and falling over and doing all kinds of stuff. And then I became sort of skeptical about that. I'm like, oh, good grief, this is so over the top. This is crazy. I don't like that. I feel totally uncomfortable. So then I was sort of back away from the whole thing at that point. All of which is fine until I go back to the Word. And the Word of God says, lift up your hands to the Lord, you servants of the Lord, and praise the Lord. Lift up your hands. It's an action step. Here's what I want to do today. I want to talk to you about worship from the viewpoint of the lifting of the hands. I'm not just talking to you about lifting of the hands, all right? This isn't a manipulation session. We aren't at the end going to say, now everybody lift, you know, one, two, three, lift your hands. We're not going to do that today, okay? I've been in churches like that, but we're not going to do that. I'm going to talk to you about worship, but it's through the lens of the lifting of the hands. If you can understand what is going on when the Bible says lift your hands to the Lord, I think you're going to understand a little bit more about worship, and I want you to practice this. You might have to practice it in the privacy of your own home to feel comfortable, but I want you to practice this in your life. I'm going to give you four things that are going on when you lift your hands to the Lord in worship. Every one of them is profound and extremely important, extremely powerful in our lives. When you lift your hands in worship or prayer, you're letting go of your grip on this fallen world and reaching out for something better. That's what happens. That's what you should be thinking about. You say, well, what should I, if I lift my hands, what should I be thinking about? Other than, I feel stupid. People are looking at me. I'm not really doing this. Are we a charismatic church? I mean, what should you be thinking about when you lift your hands to the Lord? You should be thinking about this. Number one, I'm releasing my grip on this fallen world. I'm reaching out for something better. I'm actually reaching out for something better. Now, Psalm 134 is the last psalm in a series of psalms called the Psalms of Ascent, or Ascents, of going up, ascending, moving to a higher place. There's a series of them, there's 15 of them, and they begin with Psalm 120. So, yes, we are going back to Psalm 120. Psalm 120. And it is a song of ascents. It goes like this, just seven verses. Most of these are very short. It says, I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with the warrior's sharp arrows and burning coals on the broom tree. Woe unto me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived
among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war."
That's pretty intense, isn't it? Well, you find all kinds of stuff in the Psalms. It's amazing. Very intense. The very first of the Psalms of Ascent begins in a setting of trouble. It begins far away from Jerusalem. It begins with a person who feels far from home. It begins with a person who's disillusioned with their experience in this world. And they're longing for something more. They're dissatisfied and they're praying for something more in their life. The beginning part of prayer and praise in our life is when we reach out to God for something more. When we say, "God, I'm not satisfied with this world. Lord, the stuff that I'm hanging on to in this world, I want to let it go, and I want to lift up my heart, my soul, and my life to you, Lord." He says, "Lord, woe unto me that I dwell in Meshech, and that I live among the tents of Kedar." Meshech. Meshech, biblically, is a bad place. It's like about as bad as it can be. Let me show you a couple of references to Meshech. We're going to go to the book of Ezekiel. We haven't been there in quite some time, so it's nice to be back in the neighborhood of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 32 and in verse 26. It is a chapter of judgment, and it says in 32:26, "Meshech and Tubal are there, with all their hordes around their graves. All of them are uncircumcised and killed by the sword because they spread their terror in the land of the living." Meshech, the people of Meshech, are bad people. It is a symbol in the Bible of ultimate evil. In fact, if you just turn over to chapter 38 in Ezekiel, in verses 1 and 2, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against Gog and the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him." Gog and Magog and Meshech and Tubal. The reason I'm reading this to you is because Gog and Magog appear in the book of Revelation in chapter 20 in the final battle. After the 1,000 years and all of that, when Christ returns, there's this horrific, the ultimate battle of all time. And who shows up? Gog and Magog. That's the guys that hang out with Meshech. So in the Bible, it is a symbol of ultimate evil. And the psalmist begins his journey, his ascent to come closer to the Lord with the realization that he's not happy with this world. If ever you find yourself simply sighing at the state of our world, you're actually on the road to worship. You're at the entry point of worship. If ever you find yourself just groaning at things, I find myself groaning sometimes when I go through the checkout line in the supermarket and I read the magazine titles that are there. What is the latest news about Lindsay Lohan, by the way? Or Britney? And the thing that grieves me, it's not Lindsay or Britney that grieve me so much as it is the whole enterprise, everything about it. I mean, obviously there's a market for information in that. And what does it tell me about human nature? When every time I go and check out at the supermarket, it's like this whole thing about human nature is just pushed in my face. There's an industry, there's people making millions and millions and millions of dollars by exposing the misfortunes of others. And there's something sad about it. I just kind of sigh. I go, "Oh my gosh." The other day on television, I saw a special program, and it was about the human sex trade. And there's literally thought to be 1 million people in this world who are slaves and being transported across international borders simply to be used as prostitutes. And people enslaved, children enslaved, sold into slavery or stolen into slavery. And here's the thing. Then you think about that, you go, that'll make you sigh. You'll go, oh my gosh. But then think about the fact that there is a clientele for that. There is a clientele that will pay for the services, sexual services, of men, women, and children who they know are enslaved. And that'll make you sigh. You just say, my gosh, that's unbelievable. May the Lord help us. And so sometimes we look around the world, begin to see what's happening in our world. It makes you sigh and groan and say, you know, gosh, Lord, you know what? You're at the starting point of worship, because God wants us to know this is not our home. And if we have our grip too tight on this world, we can't really be worshipers. Step number one in worship, you lift your hands, you let go. Here's a good practice, spiritual practices. Here's a good practice. You just put your hands in a fist like this and just go, what am I holding on to? What am I holding on? What's the sin that I'm holding on to? What's the stuff of the world that's just stupid that I'm holding on to? What's the prideful, lustful stuff of this world that's got a grip on me and I have a grip on it? You, okay, Lord, I'm letting go. I'm letting go, Lord. That's what happens when we worship. Now, do you understand how powerful that is? That is powerful in our lives. And I'm reaching out, Lord. I'm hungering and thirsting for something more. I want you to look at Psalm 143, verses 5 and 6. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. And I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Psalmist says, man, I remember good stuff with God. I remember experiences. I remember the Lord working. And you know, I don't know what has happened, but I thirst for the Lord in my life. So what does he do? He stretches out his hands to the Lord. Lord, I'm reaching out for you in my life. It's just a practice. It's just an exercise. It's a good thing to do in life. Secondly, when you lift your hands to the Lord in worship or in praise, you surrender your heart and you submit your life to the Lord. I surrender. You put your hands up. I surrender, Lord. And I submit my life to you, Lord. Here's another psalm, Psalm 141. Kind of all in the same area here in the book of Psalms. Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, I call to you. Come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense, and may the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Well, the whole sacrificial system was to recognize either the forgiveness of sins or the surrender of our lives to God. I mean, that's what it's about. The Lord forgives our sins, a sacrifice is made. But then we also bring sacrifices to the Lord, and it's symbolic of us giving our lives back to God, surrendering to the Lord. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Lord, here I am. I surrender to you. I submit to you. I let go of this world, Lord. I'm letting go of this foolishness of this world and stuff that's got a grip on me. I let go, and now I'm surrendering, Lord. And I commit my life just to, what will you do in my life, Lord? How can I serve you in my life, Lord? Now listen, why should you lift your hands up? Why should you? Well, in worship and in praise, we need to bring our physical body into agreement with our thinking and with what we're saying. If our physical body is contradicting what we're saying with our mouth or what we're thinking in our heart, it doesn't work so well. And so simply by physically doing something, whether it's getting on our knees or lifting our hands to the Lord, it brings us sort of into alignment, body, soul, spirit, and it's powerful. Something happens in that. And so we lift our hands to the Lord. Patrick Williams, who's seated out there somewhere, I see him out in the middle there, and I, we were talking the other day because of this class on Islam that we want to do together about understanding Islam. And so we were talking a little bit about the prayer practices of Islam and how five times a day in Islam you have to pray and you prostrate yourself on the ground. And Patrick was telling me about when he was in the Marines and they were in Desert Storm. And they went over there and they were in Saudi Arabia, and you know, Marine Corps had contracted with the local Saudis there to transport them around on these buses before, you know, all the action started. And that their driver was a Muslim. And so they're driving along, you know, with a bus full of Marines, like fully loaded, you know, Marines. And this guy stops his bus right in the middle of the road, just stops his bus, gets out, walks out, lays down on the ground and prays. Not take some nerve. Got a whole bus full of Marines there, armed to the teeth. And this guy said, I don't care. I'm going to pray. And so there's the prostrating of the self before God and prayer. And it's sort of, you know, that's intense. You go, oh, that's intense. That's serious. Yeah, it is. That's it. Well, why shouldn't Christians be a little bit more intense? Why shouldn't Christians be a little bit more involved, a little bit more engaged, you know? We should be. We should be able to handle it, to say, I can lift my hands to the Lord. I can get on my knees to pray. I can seek God in that way. And so here I am, Lord, and I'm surrendering. So here's what I want you to do. You practice this. Practice letting go, releasing. Lord, I release the things of the world, the sinful things, the hurtful things. And Lord, I surrender my life to you. Surrender, I give myself, I commit myself to you, Lord. And then the next thing that happens, we should think about when we lift up our hands, is to acknowledge and honor the greatness and the glory of God. Acknowledge and honor the greatness and glory of God. We're pointing to Him. We're pointing to Him. I went to a concert last Sunday night. I never go to a concert on Sunday night. I never go to a concert. I just don't do it. I'm too cheap. I won't spend the money. And last week, we're driving by the Aladdin Theater, and I always kind of look up to see who's playing on the thing, and I go, oh my gosh, Robin Ford and Larry Carlton are both playing together at the Aladdin. And like, if you're into guitar, you're like, oh, okay, now that's really good. And so I pulled over, and I said, Maureen, it's on Sunday night. Do you know how long it's been since we haven't had a Sunday night service? I said, honey, you're on your own. Because you don't want to go, and you don't want to pay the money for the ticket, but I'm paying. And I went in, I bought a ticket, and I had another pastor friend of mine who's into guitar, and we went together to this concert last Sunday night. I felt guilty. I felt ashamed. I was going to a rock concert, a blues concert on Sunday night. But somehow we made it through. We asked and prayed the prayer of forgiveness. And you know, the thing that was amazing was how into it these people were. I mean, everybody was into it. The place was packed. And they started playing. And after, literally, the entire concert went on for like a couple hours. The entire concert, people were screaming and standing and pointing and doing all this stuff. And I went, man, that's praise. They were just praising these guys. And people were pointing at them, you know, like this. And I'm thinking, that's praise. When you lift your hands, you're lifting them up to the Lord. You're saying, God, you're great. You're awesome. You're the maker of heaven and earth. And Lord, I recognize who you are. Try it. Practice that in your life. But the fourth thing is kind of the key to it all. When you lift your hands, you're opening your heart to receive the blessing of God upon your life by faith. To receive. Lord, I want to receive your blessing by faith. I believe it, Lord. I believe in your blessing. Now, the songs of ascent were the songs that they sang every year on their pilgrimage when they went up to Jerusalem. The Israelites would travel, maybe from Meshach. It'd be a long haul from Meshach. Going, but we got to get out of here. Let's go up to Jerusalem. And they start with Psalm 120, woe unto me for living here. And then they start walking. And as they walked, they had a song for each one of these psalms of ascent. And they would sing them over and over again on their way. They would just cycle through them. They start in Meshech, they'd end up in the house of the Lord. And even as they sang, they would start in Meshech and they'd end up in the house of the Lord. Over and over, they practiced this. And they'd work it into their thinking. And the very last line is, may the maker of heaven and earth bless you from Zion. Well, when they're singing these songs on the road, they're not in Zion yet. But by hope, they're saying, may the Lord bless you from Zion. And they're lifting up their hands and they're saying, Lord, I surrender my life to you and I honor who you are and I see your greatness. And Lord, may you bless my life from Zion. You need to know something, and that is that the Lord wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your life. The word blessing means this. It means God makes available to you all of his resources. His love, his grace, his wisdom, his knowledge, all of his goodness, all the qualities that you see in the book of Psalms, the Lord makes all of that available to your life. He blesses your life with who he is, with his riches. He blesses your life with that. May the Lord bless you. And may you receive it. May you open your heart to receive that. But here's the incredible thing about this psalm. And the NIV makes it unclear. Because the word praise really isn't the word praise. I don't agree with the way they translated this. In Psalm 134 and verse 1. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. It's the word bless. Bless the Lord. Now, in Psalm 135, it says, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's praise the Lord. You need to praise the Lord. But actually, in Psalm 134, it's bless the Lord. It's the same word that's used in verse 3. May the Lord bless you. Exact same word is used in verse 1. You bless the Lord. You say, well, how can I bless the Lord? When the Lord blesses me, he makes available to me all of his resources, all that he is. He brings all of his goodness and just presents it to me. And he says, here it is. How can I bless the Lord? But don't you see what's happening here? There's an exchange that takes place. In verse 1, it says, you bless the Lord. So what do? You bring all that you are to God. Bless the Lord. Come to the Lord and bless him with your life. You say, well, my life isn't much of a blessing. Let me fill you in on a little secret. And God already knows my life isn't a blessing. Yeah, but you know what? You bless the Lord because God says, I want your life. Bring your life to me. Present it to me so that I can bless you. And at the center point of the transaction is the lifting up of the hands. Bless the Lord. You present your life to the Lord in worship, in praise, in surrender, in honoring him, in opening up your heart and your hands to him. You present your life to the Lord. That is what the Bible calls blessing the Lord. Bring all that you are and bless the Lord. Lift up your hands as a symbol of that. And now the Lord, may he bless you. And he will. The Lord will bless you. This is why worship and praise is so powerful. It's because something happens in it. Something happens in it. So now I want to go to the New Testament and show you one last thing. And I want you to really think about this. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's your spiritual worship. Offer your body to the Lord. The lifting of the hands is a symbol of that. Offer yourself to the Lord. Literally in the Greek it says that you present yourself to God. That you make yourself available to God. Make yourself available to God. That is worship. So when I thought worship was singing. Well, singing is just an expression of the fact that we honor who God is and that we're making ourselves available to him. Lifting up the hands, that's worship. Well, that's just a symbol of the fact that you're honoring God and that you're making your life available to him, that you're surrendering to him. And so I beseech you by the mercies of God in Jesus Christ to do that. Make yourself available to the Lord. Present yourself to the Lord. That's your spiritual worship. Now, as you do that, you're going to find out something. God has made himself available to you. Last verse, the book of Acts in chapter 1. Acts 1 and verse 3. It's speaking of Jesus. This is after Easter. This is after Christ has been raised from the dead. And it says, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. It says he showed himself to these men. It's the same Greek word that's used in Romans 12 where it says present yourself to God. Present yourself to God. It says here he showed or presented himself to them. He presented himself. He said, guys, I'm available to you. I am risen. I am victorious. I am present. And I'm available to you. And they were blessed. They were excited. And the Lord says, are you available to me? That's the center point of worship. God, Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, our Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, he is available to us. Are you available to him? The Lord has blessed us in Christ and he will bless us. But will you bless the Lord by bringing your life to him? That's the essence of worship. The lifting of the hands is the symbol of that in the book of Psalms. So I want you to practice that in your life. Now remember, when you practice something, you might feel silly. You might say, my arm doesn't go like that. It doesn't go up. You need to practice that. You know, sometimes I even, when I walk around, and I do my little prayer walks and stuff, if I'm in a setting where it would be pretty weird, like if I'm around a bunch of people, let's say I'm in the park or something, and there's people everywhere, I don't really want to walk around like this because I'm thinking that might not go so well. I actually put my hands in my pocket, and I just kind of tighten them up, I put them in a fist, and then I just open them up. I just open them up, and I go, Lord, I'm opening to you my life, Lord. And I'm letting go, Lord, of the stuff, the worldly stuff that's got a grip on me. I just want to let it go, and Lord, I just want to yield my life to you. And it's just a conversation I have, and there's just this tiny physical gesture that goes with it. And sometimes when I pray and when I'm by myself, I just lift up my hands to the Lord. And sometimes at church, you might see me lifting a hand or lifting both my hands to the Lord. And those are the things that I'm thinking about when I'm doing that. And I want to encourage you to be a worshiper of the Lord. We have an instruction book, and you don't have to be perfect at it. And it might feel a little bit awkward, but you know, we're not here to impress each other. You have to understand that. You know, I'm not here to impress you. You know, it's just that's not what this is all about. And so we could actually come and we can practice together on stuff, knowing that sometimes people are going to stumble and they won't go so well. And we can practice this together. This is Christian life that we do together. And it can be powerful if we'll follow through on what God says to us. Let's take a minute right now and pray. And then we're going to sing a little bit more. I'm going to come back and share another thought about prayer with you before we go. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, this guidebook, Lord. How amazing to have this word of instruction, Lord, that is so clear and so powerful, so deep, Lord. It shows us the beauty of who you are. It exposes also, Lord, the tragedy of a fallen world. And in the midst of that, it shows us how to draw near to you and how you have drawn near to us. Now, Lord, may we learn this. May we grow. May we practice. May we find that our lives are being transformed, Lord, in hope because of it. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.